Welcome back, everybody. Be sure to check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Ava?
Facebook as well.
Perfect. Check it out. All that you can ever want.
Or need
at your fingertips. more than you'll ever need.
More than you'll ever need.
Absolutely on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and highlight every show. I'm going to get down and do a little video to put on Facebook.
There you go.
So get that done and put it on the website and kind of give you guys a highlight of what's going on with the show. What else? We're going to talk about the wolf relisting, getting through that thrown out, pheasant hunting, black market tags, and let's jump into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jump
I'm
right
excited
in.
For all
the
three.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the USFWS, is asking the courts to toss out the wolf relisting ruling. They just recently asked the Court of Appeals to vacate their ruling that more than 2 years ago returned gray wolves outside the Northern Rocky Mountain region to the endangered species list. The relisting in February of 2022 resulted in a lawsuit filed by the wolf protectionist groups and followed federal delisting of the species in 2020. Thereafter, several parties appealed the court's order to the 9th District Court, and the government joined the appeal in 2022. According to the recent court filing, the District of California identified several purported errors with the scientific determination that the listed gray wolves are no longer endangered. So you've got some battles going out within it. So you've got the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of California says that they making the bad judgment with the USFWS. However, based on the USFWS brief, the ruling removing gray wolf entities from the list of endangered and threatened species should be upheld. Gray wolf is one of the biggest success stories. It has made remarkable recovery and now thrives in the continental United States in two large and expanding metapopulations that are also connected to a large population of wolves in Canada. The district court's decision faulting the USFWS's extensive recovery analysis fundamentally misunderstands the ESA and the relevant science in one of the reviewing of the court. The court filing states that in Minnesota, under the ESA protections, that's the Endangered Species Act protections, if you're wondering what ESA, Endangered Species
Protections. Yeah, all
protections.
These acronyms are
yep. Wolves
wonderful.
Expanded their range by nearly 300% and population numbers have fluctuated between 2,000 and 3,000 wolves since the early 2000s. As the Minnesota wolf population grew, dispersing wolves colonized and established packs in Wisconsin, Michigan, and those populated and multiplied and thrived. Combined, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan now contain over 4,000 wolves. These wolves are connected to about 12,000 to 14,000 wolves in Canada. And we talked about that before. They had a large range that they would move. Remember that Don had that story?
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
That was just crazy.
Like astronomical.
In April, House of Representatives passed a resolution to remove the endangered species protections of gray wolf in the lower 48. Minnesota Congressman Pete Stauber called the action the right step in restoring wolf delisting, and also not just Minnesota, but neighboring states, Wisconsin, Michigan. And now they're calling on the Walz-Flanagan administration to direct the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to conduct the annual wolf hunt to call the out-of-control wolf population, which is the largest of any state across the lower 48. So there you have it. Minnesota has the largest number of wolves, and that seems to be right around the 2,700 mark. according to a statement from the Center for Biological Diversity, which has joined the past lawsuits to retain protections, they offer a full defense of the agency's 2020 decision to delist the wolves in the lower 48, which district court set aside. Wolves haven't recovered from the vast majority of their historical range, and turning management over to the states will undoubtedly result in a bloodbath. See, what's crazy about this I got to say, Ava, and listeners, you're probably finding this as well. Some of this is so hard to find, to understand. This statement is a prime example. The Center for Biological Diversity, which has joined in past lawsuits to retain protection for wolves that the U.S. action offers, and the full defense of the agency's 2020 listing to delist, saying that they haven't recovered. So it's almost like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, when right. I read it four times now, and it just seems like that. However, what is the case? Center for Biological Diversity is against opening up the wolves to a hunting season. Defenders of Wildlife, a plaintiff in a lawsuit that halted the 2020 delisting, which is what was going on and attempting to do right now to delist the wolves, they criticized last week the delisting at this time would set us on a backward trajectory, imperiling the species before it made a full recovery. And the problem we have is, and this happened before, Ava, we talked about this a little bit, at what point have they deemed a healthy point of population? And that's the problem that came into play. When they set the population goal, they said, oh, it's going to be this. Then they said, well, we don't need a population goal. We just know when it's healthy, which is the saddest thing about this. So some of the defenses offered by the USFWS in the brief state the district court's decision rests on its mistaken belief that the Endangered Species Act requires the Fish and Wildlife Service to protect the individual members of a healthy species and to restore that species throughout its historical range. Thus, the real problem that comes into play, we talked about it earlier with the grizzly. The current administration wants to populate grizzly back into an area where it has not had grizzly for 20 to 30 years.
And there's lots of people now.
And that area now is a major recreational area. Bad move. Further, the district court held that the Fish and Wildlife Service erred by failing to consider threats to wolves in areas of the United States where the populations no longer exist. Following, as a practical matter, the Fish and Wildlife Service cannot evaluate the threat of humans to wolves in places where wolves do not exist. Besides, that type of analysis would matter only if the Endangered Species Act required Fish and Wildlife Service to restore each listed species to every place it existed historically. Now, what are the odds you're going to do that?
Yeah.
They're not. You're not going to do that. It's not a possibility. There's a number of reasons why various fish and game across the U.S., whether it's a game species or not, are not going to be able to reestablish themselves in certain areas. And that's the big thing here. They also state that the district court erred when they said that they were going to, hey, you can't have the delisting. They erred in determining that the Fish and Wildlife Service failed to consider the adequacy of existing regulatory mechanisms to protect wolves after delisting. The court credited the Fish and Wildlife Service conclusion the state's regulatory mechanisms will protect the wolves after delisting once management of wolves returns to the states. And that's because endangered species is a national act, not an individual state. It is across the board at a United States level.
Not sure if that's...
Yeah, so it all comes down to realistically putting this into play. And it should be I think it should be upheld. I think they should be able to regulate that element because the impact on various game within the state, namely, if you look at what's going on up in the northern tier of the United of Minnesota, if you get a heavy snow year, we were talking about it with a bunch of guys this last week, heavy snow year, those deer are done. They get herded up, and it's pick them off one by one, and it only is going to get worse. So same thing held in Wisconsin, but then you end up in a whole world of challenge with the tribal scenario as well. So not going to go into that, but nonetheless, just as far as what it's doing to the wildlife in the area, it's significant, and it's something to be looked at. Last but not least, According to press releases, recently in 2023, the Sportsman's Alliance Foundation, along with the Michigan Bear Hunters Association, Upper Peninsula Bear Houndsmen, as well, there's a lot of other lawsuits going on. They're requesting that the agency delist the gray wolves as well in the Western Great Lakes and downlist West Coast wolves to threatened rather than endangered. And really, across the board, that is proof that no matter where you're at, you're looking at the significant population of wolves taking in and really doing what they'd hoped they would do. And it's time to move away from that particular part of
the puzzle.
Yeah, the puzzle pieces. So let's move on to some positive stuff, shall we? A little controversy there, but no controversy here at all. You ready?
Yeah.
How are pheasant hunters going to fare in the Midwest? Ooh. What's it looking like?
Yeah.
Big thing.
Can you start here?
Can I start
Minnesota?
Here?
I don't want to wait.
Oh, I'm going to make you wait.
Ugh.
Yep.
Where are you starting?
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting with probably in the Midwest.
I'm going to start out with a state that's got more pheasants than any place in
South Dakota.
You are correct. After last year's mild winter was followed by enough rain, at times too much, to encourage habitat growth with ideal nesting conditions, there's a lot of optimism from the South Dakota hunting fraternity this year. Heavy rains in mid-June may have impacted some of the nesting, but pheasants are productive in the right situation. So any hens with failed nests likely tried again. Optimistic hunters will find good to excellent hunting this fall. We had a mild winter and carried over a lot of adult birds.
Yeah.
And they're good-sized birds, too, said Matt Gottlieb of the Pheasants Forever from South Dakota, statewide coordinator. The southeast corner of South Dakota experienced some heavy rains in the spring and may reduce recruitment, but things look good for the rest of the state. 77,000 hunters harvesting nearly 1.2 million birds last season. No one questions South Dakota's status as a premier hunting destination. Best hunting is in the eastern half. The Brule, Aurora, and Minor counties have some of the highest harvest. And the counties in the southeastern corner west of the Missouri also have good numbers of birds. South Dakota Game Fish departments focus on habitat and public access with 12 private lands, and biologists working with landowners identifying those key areas are important. South Dakota season opens October 12th through the 14th for residents, while the general season runs October 19th through January 31st with a bag of three per day, possession limit of 15. All right, let's jump to North Dakota. I have a lot of friends that go up to North Dakota to do that, as well as duck. North Dakota had a mild winter also. Favorable weather leads to optimism as well. Hunters can expect a good year, says Emily Spoiler from Pheasants Forever North Dakota, state coordinator. Overall, we have favorable conditions throughout the winter and spring, which means the areas have adequate habitat. You're seeing good bird numbers. As we know, the habitat is the most important factor for healthy wildlife populations. On the state level, we do not stock or have any pen-raised birds in general. Most of the state is going to be providing ample opportunities for traveling hunters. She also had a reminder for traveling hunters. Hunters need to keep in mind that land in North Dakota can be electronically posted instead of or in addition to being physically posted. They should pay close attention to knowing where they are in the field and be respectful of property owners. North Dakota Game Fish Department does a great job of managing the walk-in program, which allows thousands of acres of opportunity. As always, hunters should be treating these lands with the utmost respect so we continue to have these access opportunities. North Dakota Game Fish shared the optimism. Spring crowing count indicated the state's population is up 37% statewide from 2023. Weather patterns for the wildlife and improved habitat conditions are primary reasons for an improved survey. All right, so Wisconsin's next. And obviously Wisconsin's had some issues with habitat, as a lot of places have done and had issues with. A lot of stocking going on in the state. They're looking at stocking levels similar to last year, with 75,000 birds stocked on state-owned lands. So that should be pretty good. Their season starts October 19th at 9 a.m. and ends January 5th, and a bag limit of one rooster per day on opening weekend and two per day after that point. Jump to Kansas. I've hunted there myself. Totally different weather situation that they're dealing with. They have dealt with moderate to severe drought, large hailstorms and a lot of impact on the chicks. So that's been an issue. That could be a problem for that particular state, but they're obviously hoping that that's going to be some changing elements, though. Bobwhite quail, I've hunted those out there as well. They're having some good recovery with those, and they're in the uptick in population. Let's jump to Nebraska. Even though they're right next door to Kansas, who had drought, they had a lot of flooding this summer. And even though they had flooding, it is some decent conditions looking overall. Much of dry conditions they had have now turned around, which is good. Field reports are starting to come in with a few that they have are looking good. Their bag limit is 3 roosters and 12 in possession. Jump to Minnesota. Wet spring, wet June. Obviously, has led
really wet June.
Yep, to some birds being in their second or third nest attempts. So that's kind of a struggle. Each time there's still time left, each renesting attempt will have fewer eggs, which is a problem. So hopefully that's okay. We're looking at, they're decent across the state of Minnesota. Our season runs October 12th through the 1st. Bag limit 2 roosters on the opener, 3 roosters from that particular day from December 1st until it closed. And last but not least, powerhouse Iowa. Mild winter resulted in above normal hen survival. There was little snow cover. Rainfall was more than 90% above normal and wettest in 152 years of record keeping. The flooding will no doubt have an impact on the northwestern portions of Iowa. The birds in that region are not looking good. Expect counts likely to be in the northern region to be the best in the northern and central regions. Counts are going to be lower in the southeast and south central. Iowa season runs from October 26th through January 10th and from 8 a.m. to 4:30 with a daily bag of 3 roosters.
I can't believe in Minnesota it's less than a month away.
I know.
Already.
Yeah, I... Well, we talked about it when you have South Dakota. We talked about the dog issues and they had heat.
Yeah.
You know, because they can go out now and hunt on game farm. And that heat is just not good for the dogs. You know, if you go out in a game farm, just protect your dogs. And you start getting your dogs ready. So, hey, speaking of ready, we're ready for an amazing weekend. I hope you guys are as well. We are going to be hopping into it and having a fantastic one. Go do a little fishing, do a little hunting. And whatever else you want to do in the outdoors. For Ava, for myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and get out there and have fun. See ya!